Welcome to another special episode of the Cinemass Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Treadway. Today, I'm joined by two special guests. I have H. Nelson Tracy, writer-director of Breakup Season, which will be getting its world premiere at Desertscape International later this month. Nelson, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Excited to be here.
I'm super excited to have you. And then joining him, we have James Urbaniak, who you may recognize from Venture Brothers, The Office, and also Best Picture winning Oppenheimer from last year. Welcome, James. Happy to have you. Yeah.
Happy to be here.
Yes. I'm excited to talk about Breakup Season. I have seen it 1.5 times now.
More than I've seen it.
Yeah, James has not yet seen the film.
Oh, really?
You're ahead of him.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So I've seen it 1.5 times now. And I really enjoyed it. So I'm excited. I have some questions I wanted to get through. So Nelson, I want to start with you.
Yeah.
Would you mind kind of telling us about Breakup Season, just kind of high level? You don't have to get into anything specific, but tell our listeners a little bit about Breakup Season, what it's about.
Sure. So Breakup Season is a feature film. It's about a guy who brings his girlfriend to rural Oregon to meet his family for the very first time for Christmas. And it gets off to a bumpy start and things go south very quickly. But it's rural Oregon in the winter, so his girlfriend is stuck with his family for the rest of the holiday season. It's a good mix of comedy and drama, heartbreak, all those things.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, like you said, like that perfect storm of comedy and dramedy. And conceptually, it just feels like the worst nightmare possible. Where did you kind of like get that idea from? Like where... You know, where you go, that's what I'm going to make a movie about. Because it feels like you could even direct this like a horror movie.
Yes.
And there's you can argue director. That someone already has in
yeah,
some
if,
ways. So.
If Ari Aster had gotten a hold of it, it would be a very different film and could still work just great. You know, I'm one of those people, I've been wanting to make movies since I was 5 years old. And I had, as I've gotten older, obviously this is my first feature. I had about 5 or 6 projects that were really in the running. And this one specifically came from, I was in college, so it was a while ago. My older sister was like, my friend is really mad at her brother right now because he's invited his girlfriend home for Christmas and they've broken up, but she's still here the rest of the holiday season. And I was like, that little nugget is such a good idea for a movie. And it just kind of rattled around the back of my head for over a decade. And then I started going to La Grande, Oregon, the town where we started filming the movie. And I was looking for ideas for first features that were kind of one location movies or very contained stories. You know, it's something that I could do. So I didn't, you know, bite off more than I could chew on the first go around. And La Grande, Oregon is a place where you can get stuck in the winter. And everyone would tell me at least once a season or at least once a year, the interstate shuts down because of winter weather. And so this concept, suddenly the combination of the purely fictional, the actually happens in the winter, and then my own life experience, wrap it all up, put a bow on it, and you've got yourself a movie.
That's great. You know, there's a number of different kind of like relationships that take place in the film or that we kind of get like a look into. Were there any of those relationships that kind of like felt like they came from your past experience or someone you knew in any way?
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, they say write what you know. And I think that everyone, you can't help it as a writer, but pull from it. People always ask me, is this a true story? And the answer is no. But every single scene, I can tell you an equivalent version of that scene. You know, like there's some father-son conversations and I haven't had that literal father-son conversation, but I've had a very equivalent with my own dad. Or, you know, there's obviously with relationships and stuff, if it's not pulled from me, some of it's pulled from conversations I've had with people I know. So yes, it's very much it's about as close to the sun as you can fly without being a one for one.
Yeah. It's fun kind of watching it. You can feel some influences in there as well. I feel like the tension of something like I'm Thinking of Ending Things, or like the optimism of like 500 Days of Summer, both kind of like show it to me. I'm curious if there's any kind of like film influences out there that as you're writing the script, you felt like you kind of drew from or like felt like may have influenced you in some way.
Well, that's so interesting. Yeah, actually, those two, I mean, 500 Days of Summer, I know very well, but the two movies that really influenced me the most, I think when it was still just a synopsis, everybody assumed it was going to be kind of a balls to the wall romp and more of a traditional holiday fare. And that was kind of frustrating because I was like, it's really not what I'm trying to do. And in fact, part of why I think it rattled around for a decade is because the original concept seemed like it would be more of just like a silly comedy. But then, you know, the breakups I've had are not funny. And I wanted to treat that with a sincerity. And the movie that really, that I realized was my comp is Sarah Polley's Take This Waltz, which came out in 2011. And it's a movie about late 20s marriage that is not working. And it's not like her, it's Michelle Williams is the lead. And it's not like her husband is abusive or anything like that. It's just not, it's more subtle than that. And that subtlety is what I want, is the lane I wanted to play in. So I think that's my most tonally comparable movie. And then the other film that I took a lot of inspo from was The Worst Person in the World, which came out, I think, 2 years ago. It was an Oscar nominee for Best Foreign Film. And between those two, I think those are movies that take relationships very seriously. I also looked at Lady Bird quite a lot. And what I like about Lady Bird is it's more of a comedy, but Greta Gerwig has always said the characters are not treating this like a comedy. For the characters, this is life and death stakes, you know, but for us as the audience, we find humor in that because, you know, it's high school and if you're removed from it, it's funny. But for Lady Bird, the character, it isn't. So somewhere, I think those were the three films that I passed along to my cast and said, you know, these are kind of what we're aiming for. And
cool. I like that you mentioned the cast. James, I have a question for you. So you've worked with a lot of people at this point, a lot of casts, a lot of different directors, including, like I mentioned, you know, just recently, Christopher Nolan. So what was unique about Breakup Season with this cast, with this group, and you know, H. Nelson as a director that like stood out to you that kind of really like set this apart?
Well, one thing that was fun is that I got cast as a dad, and for some reason, I don't usually get cast as dads, even though I am a dad in real life. Mm-hmm. and I'm the father of twins who are about to turn 18. So they're a little younger than the characters who play my kids in the movie, but not that much. So I appreciated that. It's funny. I often play sort of oddballs or weirdos or murderers or red herrings, people you suspect of being murderer. I've done a lot of TV procedurals. And I just appreciated that my character is a relatively normal guy. And in a funny way, that's actually kind of a challenge for me. Because it's, you know, you're not playing someone who has the hook of, oh, they're a psychopath or they're an evil scientist. He's just a well-meaning father. And I sort of appreciated the simplicity of that, you know, and how to make that land as a character. And then the other thing is Nelson's a great director. He had in his own sort of quiet way, he had a very detailed approach, and he would create an environment where things would start to happen. And I remember a couple of times being in a group scene. It's a movie about a family, so there's a couple of dinner scenes, that sort of thing, mm-hmm. where there's a lot of back and forth and all the actors are participating. And I remember thinking, this is pretty good. There's some good acting going on here. And it's important not to think that too much when you're acting, because when you start thinking and acting, you forget your lines and you screw up. But that was very pleasant, sort of the uniform quality of the acting and the and that we all, it kind of, Nelson had a gift for putting us all on the same page. Everyone kind of felt like, you know, we all kind of understood each other. And I think acting's weird. Like, did any of the actors know each other before Nelson?
No, not a single one.
None of us knew each other before, yet the bulk of us are playing a family who've, you know, known each other for decades. And I think we land that way just because of the environment that Nelson and the rest of the crew on the movie created.
I definitely agree. I think the thing that works really well is that the family as you wrote it, Nelson, is such that a bunch of actors who have never known each other can have the right type of chemistry for the family as it's written, where there are kind of like odd tensions that would make for like small hiccups. You know, there's odd stuff between the brother and the sister, and there's definitely odd stuff between Ben and Gordon. And so, like, you know, to have a bunch of people who had never worked together before still feel like a family, it definitely felt like that family was real, was tangible. And a big part of that is, you know, the way they're written, but also the performances, which, you know, I'm curious, you know, Nelson, as you're casting this, you know, you have some like very familiar faces that pop up, Chandler Riggs in there, who took me a second. Because I had not watched Walking Dead since like season three. So I have not seen him really in anything. Like, wait a second, is that the kid from The Walking Dead? And then I recognize Samantha from Captain Fantastic, and of course James. But when you're casting this and you're looking for all these characters, and especially as you're kind of like, you know, working with your team to put together a group of people that not just ideally work well together, but work together like as a family, how do you go about doing that? And, you know, tell me about the process of kind of collecting this group of actors for this film.
Yeah, you're right. And it's kind of a twofold approach, because it's first, you're trying to get the best individual for that performance, but you're also thinking about it in the web of the whole relationship. Because, you know, if you get six individuals, but they don't congeal well, then it doesn't matter that they're the best performers. I'll start with Kirby, the character who James plays, because I think we were doing auditions, and I auditioned a lot of people in that kind of, I don't know, 45 plus demographic to be Kirby. And I think a lot of them, because it's got the Christmas in the concept and all that, a lot of them are kind of winking and nodding and goofing off in the auditions. And it was not what I was looking for. I think Kirby is a fun character and he has some goofy moments, but he's not winking and nodding at the camera. You know, he's a sincere person, like James said. And so in James's audition, I saw so much sincerity, and I saw someone who's just being themselves. And, you know, they're like, when people see the movie, they'll see Kirby, someone who loves trains. And I don't want someone who's making fun of that or whatever. I have things that I love. My dad has things that he loves, you know, and you take that very seriously, and you get enthusiastic about it. And so that was, the audition scene was actually the scene where Kirby is talking to Cassie, the character, about the map and the trains and all that. And that was something that I looked for, characters or actors who were very sincere and who treated it very seriously. And to what I said about Lady Bird, the comedy would come through if people took it seriously. In terms of the overall chemistry and all that, there's a little bit of luck in that, I'll be completely honest. I mean, we were definitely going for best performances, and we weren't going to go with people who were totally off. But the fact that like James and Chandler actually kind of look like a father and a son, you know, that's just like sometimes the luck of the draw, especially I'd see them in the same room. And like,
I appreciate that, Nelson, because Chandler's a handsome young man. So I appreciate that I could be his father.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just subtle things like that. Chandler and Carly, who plays Liz, the younger sister, really look like a brother and sister. You know,
really do. That was kind of why I wanted to ask the question, like, did you cast them together almost is what it felt like? Because they do look so much alike.
I mean, we were casting... Chandler was the last one cast, and that sort of came about very much toward the end, you know, with little time to spare. But everyone else was kind of cast within the same space before we made any offers. We kind of looked at the whole cast and we're like, yep, I think we've got something special here.
We were all living out there during the shoot in the Grand, which I took quite a shine to. We all did. And it's a cliche, but it's true. We really became a family. Like everyone got on very well. I remember like the first day, probably the first day of shooting is the first day I probably met most of the people. And we did a rehearsal for camera. And it was a very brief scene that's like sort of an interstitial scene in the hallway. But the bulk of the cast was actually in the scene. Everyone sort of shows up. And I remember thinking, wow, this is going to work. Like you could tell from this short shot where I think it was me, Chandler, Carly, Samantha, you know, I think you could just tell that there was a real there was a real energy here that was going to click and land as a family. It was very exciting, actually.
And likewise for me, too, I think. And by shooting in a remote location, we got to spend a lot of time together. You know, on weekends, we'd go bowling together and things
like
that. Yeah,
we'd socialize. And that definitely informed. I've always found that if I'm working on something, if I have an opportunity to hang out and get to know the people, even like once before we shoot, just go out for drinks or dinner or something, just by getting a sense of the other person's energy, it helps you act with them, you know, even though you're playing, you're not yourselves. You just start to get a keyed into each other's energy. And so that happened pretty much immediately on this. I think from the first day we all met, we all just really got on very, very well. You know, no ego issues or anything.
No,
everyone was just chill and happy to be there. And I think we definitely land as a family, which was super fun.
So when you're talking about kind of spending time with the cast and getting to know their energy, I'm curious, you know, as a dad myself, I have three little ones. I know that there's different ways that I have to kind of interact with my oldest as opposed to my, you know, second. My third is a baby. So, as you're hanging out with the cast, as you're getting to know them and you're feeling their energy, as you're talking about, obviously that informs the way that you handle those scenes with them, because I'm curious, like, absolutely, what is the difference in energy that you kind of had to adapt between scenes with Ben and scenes with Gordon?
Well, that's a great question. And the fact is that it's true that the movie is very well cast and we all sort of land as members of the family. But in addition to that, all the actors have very distinct qualities. So Carly has her own kind of very specific energy that informs her portrayal of that character, and Jacob, and they all have their own sort of qualities. So in a way, it wasn't that hard because you just sort of read their natural qualities. And they all sort of had qualities that in a sense reflected who they were playing. Like Jacob's not a sad sack, but he has a kind of he has a sort of coming out of
like an edge to him.
Left field quality to his humor. And yeah, exactly. And Carly has this sort of wonderful, spontaneous good cheer. And Chandler does have a kind of wry, maybe slightly introspective quality. They all had, you would agree with this, wouldn't you, Nelson?
I would. Yeah. No, keep going.
And I, as sort of an older actor of the bunch, also have somehow felt somewhat dad-like in my so it was like everyone sort of using their own energies, and then you're applying that to a character. So again, it was just a case of getting to know everyone, sort of getting a bead on everyone and thinking, okay, so this is sort of how I might interact with this person under these imaginary circumstances. So but again, it's a tribute to the casting that actually made the job a lot easier.
I love that. Is there
well gelled so well.
Yeah. And for you, James, is there a scene that you, well, I guess you haven't seen it yet, so I guess it would be.
Well, I remember shooting it very well, though.
So when you think back on it, you know, I think as fathers, I think sometimes we look back on conversations we have with our kids or teaching moments and we go, or even just a dinner or a situation, you go, yeah, I think I actually handled that pretty well, or I'm proud of the way that I, you know, had that conversation. When you look or when you think back on some of these scenes, is there a scene that you look back at and you go, man, I'm really proud of the way that like that scene came together. I'm proud of my performance or the way that scene kind of like flowed.
Well, definitely the one that springs to mind sort of at the top. Well, there's a couple of them, but one is specifically there's a scene where I have kind of a heart to heart with Jacob's character, and spoiler alert, we smoke a little reefer together.
Smoke a little joint.
And it's a very simple scene. But if I recall, it was, we shot it near the end of the shoot on a very cold night. Like, we were shooting in the winter. The snow outside was real.
Yes.
It's not Soapflex or, you know, Hollywood snow.
It's not a snow machine in Santa Clarita.
And I knew that was a very important scene. Exactly. That was a very important scene because it's like the whole movie. Nothing super dramatic happens. It's just all about the drama between these characters and their dynamics. And that's where, as it is in one's life, usually. And so I remember I was a little apprehensive because that was such a sort of subtle scene. It's also beautifully written. Nelson's a great writer. And then by the time we got to do it, I'd been thinking about it a lot. And then I'd really gotten to know and really like Jacob, who plays my son. And then it just sort of happened very naturally. And I felt relieved and very good about how that went. And I think it was just a thing of having thought about it throughout the shoot and then just getting to know Jacob. Mm-hmm. And then sort of like, in a way, the work had already been done in my mind before I showed up. That all I had to do was just act it in front of the camera.
It's definitely
remarkably easy in a way.
Yeah.
I think that was a favorite. And then another favorite, just in sort of technical terms, was there's a shot where Chandler and I are standing by a train that goes by. And that was just super fun, just sort of technically. We kind of got lucky because we weren't standing dangerously close to the tracks or anything, but we wanted to have a train come by in the background. Mm-hmm. And they had a schedule, but we weren't sure how accurate it was. And
hope that train comes by.
If I remember, it kind of came a little earlier than we expected, but we were like, all right, here comes one. Let's just do it. And this will be sort of the test version. And then that went so well, we kind of felt like, wow, we got it in one.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But there was a sort of sense of, sometimes when things are going well in the arts, in anything creative, you just become a magnet for good luck. And the opposite will happen as well if things aren't going. But in this case, we were sort of magnetized for luck during the shoot. And so that was just sort of indicative of that.
I love that. I think that's like very much the case with a lot of these kind of like great smaller productions where it's like luck kind of, you have to, luck has to be involved for something to come together as well as this one does.
But so yeah, kind of, if everyone's in like the same mental zone and they want this to happen, you almost will that to happen in a way.
Exactly. So Nelson, my question kind of in closing almost for you is like, what's next? I mean, I think this is great. I know that you guys are taking this around now. I'm excited for the premiere over at Desertscape. Are you working on anything next that you're willing to share?
Absolutely. Well, I think first of all, you know, if it's an independent film and I'm also a producer on it. And so I'm going to be, you know, taking this one on the road, and we're just starting a big festival tour with the intention of releasing it this fall or around Christmas time. So, you know, it's worth saying like that is a huge job that the work continues there. And I will be on that and be happy about it for a while. But of course, that's probably not what you probably want to know what I'm writing and stuff like that. And so, yes, I have three feature scripts that each of which I could really jump into and do right now. And then I have one that's like a kind of a multi-million-dollar period piece that like, if someone came along and said, here you go, you know, and it's a true story. And so, you know, that one, that's sort of the dream one that'll come eventually. But yeah, I'm still in breakup season land for at least a few more months as I sort of keep on moving along and, you know, keep talking to people about it and getting to have the conversations that I want to have about it. For a long time, it's been a lot about like the technical details, but I'm really just getting to start to talk with people like you, Brandon, who have gotten to see the movie and talk about, yeah, things like family and things like relationships and all the good stuff, the stuff that I, you know, that I made the movie for, you know, so.
Awesome. I love it. James, anything coming up that you want to share about?
I have a little part in an Apple Plus series called Palm Royale starring Kristen Wiig.
Which is like you're in that. I didn't even know you were in that.
It's a comedy set at like a fancy country club in the 1960s. So I play a very James Urbaniak sort of buttoned up manager.
Perfect. Cool.
And well, yeah. And then there's a couple other like, in addition to Breakup Season, movies, and there's a couple other like independent films that I did in the last year or so that'll be coming out and are sort of will be hitting the festival circuit like this as well. There's one called Test Screening, which is a really inventive sort of horror movie, and then a really unique comedy called Putty Sticks, directed and written and starring a woman named Megan Seeley, which I'm excited to be a part of. So it's kind of fun at breakup season, obviously.
Very cool. Well, yeah, I'm excited. Like I said, Breakup Season's playing Desertscape International Film Festival on Friday, March 29th at 5 p.m. So to all you listeners, don't miss it. I really enjoyed this film. I think the audience is going to enjoy it. And I look forward to kind of hearing what the audience thought about it. So to both of you, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me. And yeah, to all you listeners, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Yeah. Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you.
The Cinemass Podcast is hosted by Ben Treadway and me, Brandon Treadway. This show is brought to you by the Film and Media Alliance of Southern Utah, a 501c3 nonprofit with the goal to challenge, spotlight, and inspire filmmakers from around the globe. Our theme music is by David Limitao. Follow the Cinemass Podcast on social media on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. Want to send us some feedback, talk about a movie, or just drop us a line? Email us at thecinemasspodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.